Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we speak with Simon Thomas, the CEO of the Hippodrome Casino. The historic Hippodrome Casino dates back to the turn of the 20th century. Simon Thomas and his father Jimmy took over that facility and turned it into London's most successful gaming enterprise. The Hippodrome has a long history as an entertainment venue featuring circuses, a 100,000-gallon pool, and superstar entertainment. When Simon Thomas and his family took it over, they spent 4 years transforming it into what it is today, London's largest and Europe's most popular casino. Thomas explains how the renovation occurred and what has been added since the last few years. He talks about the UK gaming laws that have changed and how the Hippodrome can now offer more slots and tables to its clientele. He spoke with me in a suite at the Bellagio in Las Vegas in November when he's in town for the inaugural Formula One race on the Strip. Simon, it's great to see you on this side of the pond. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Hey, it's lovely to be here. I have to say, this is such an exciting time. We've got, obviously, the Formula One in Vegas, which is maybe one of the reasons I'm here. I was in Reno the weekend with UNLV and University of Reno.
And that's up in Tahoe, too, which is a nice place to be.
Last time I was there, I did get chased by a bear, but that's a whole different story.
Right.
Memorable moments, but it's always memorable coming here.
Yeah,
great
absolutely.
To see you.
It was great to see you, too, as well. So we're here for F1. I mean, it's an exciting time in Vegas. It took me 20 minutes just to get around the corner here, but other than that, it's going to be a real landmark for Vegas. What do you think it's going to do for the town?
Well, according to the stats, it's going to bring, 1.5 billion of GVA, which is phenomenal. What I love about Vegas, most people are frightened of challenges. Here, it's massively disruptive.
Right.
It's been disruptive. I was here in May and October. It was disruptive back then.
Sure.
But everyone actually sees the bigger picture and they think, this is great. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some people that are disadvantaged on traffic or whatever, but people don't care because they know what it's going to do. And I have no idea what it's going to be like in the next few days, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be crazy, fun, exciting. There'll be lots of lessons to learn, it'll be amazing.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of the Bellagio employees on my way up, and I said, where are they having your park? And they said, well, we're day shifts, so it's easy. We'll get in easy, but getting out is going to be the problem, you know. So, and then the swing shift or night shift is going to have the problems getting in. So
they'll find a way.
Yeah, I think so, sure. So it's been a while since we talked. I love the Hippodrome. I every time I go to London, I make it a point to come over and see you and see what's changed. So how has the casino been doing over the last couple of years, and what new amenities have you added to it?
It has been an interesting time, to say the least. We never stand still.
Right.
I've got a boredom threshold of a newt, and I always want to change. COVID hit like a sledgehammer since we last saw. We were shut for 320 days.
Mm-hmm.
And stage one of COVID was, we're going to get a bust. My salary bill's £2.5 million a month, and I had 12 million quid in the bank, so that didn't look good.
Yeah.
Stage two was, we're not going to get a bust. We'll find a way through this. Borrow money, cut costs, rationalize, government furlough, etc. And then stage three was the most interesting part, which is a real Hippodrome style. Let's take this and flip it the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity. It's not a problem.
Right.
We're not normally closed.
Sure.
And to have 320 days of being closed gave us an opportunity to do all sorts of stuff that would have been a real challenge when we're open. And we did some big infrastructure projects, changing things like updating all our air conditioning and stuff like that. We also built a fifth floor on the top of the building, which is a really cool roof terrace, and doubled the size of our fourth floor to get some more outdoor smoking. We moved our poker and completely refurbished it. So it's now really smart poker stars, suite of rooms. And equally, we repositioned ourselves in the market. I think we would perhaps have been a bit cautious on our pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So we nudged that up and we've come out of COVID flying.
Yeah.
We are absolutely, we have 10% less customers and twice as profitable.
Okay.
And then recently we've added on one of the other advantages of COVID, there's two parts of the building we didn't control. They became available, so we got those. So there's still a knock on even now. And we opened a Chinese restaurant called Chop Chop, which is phenomenal.
Okay.
The top UK restaurant critic is a guy called Jay Rayner,
yeah.
who's normally pretty tough.
Yeah.
And he just gave us the most glowing review. It was a joy to read. And the restaurant was already busy and it's now rammed.
Right.
We've refurbished our cocktail bar on the first floor. It's now called Permission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uber cool, laid back, live music, very sexy.
Yeah.
We took over the shop units, I said, on the front. We've now got a cafe on the front called Crabble Fair at the Hippodrome, which is fun. And the last part of that jigsaw is we are developing a secret bar in the basement underneath the cafe. I can't tell you about it because it wouldn't be secret. Then on the games, we've been pushing everything we can. We've brought in Evolution's Lightning Roulette, which is in its infancy, but I'm really excited for that product. I think when you look at some of the stuff that's happened online, a game like roulette in a casino environment works.
Sure.
It's not the most exciting game. It's in a really exciting environment.
Right.
Together, it makes a really good product. When you take the excitement of the casino away from the game, it's a little bit flat.
Yeah.
And Evolution are very cleverly, almost brought in a game show type approach to it.
Right.
More volatility with 500-to-1 jackpots. And I'm wanting to take that and take what they've created in excitement that works on a screen and add in the casino environment actually see if it'll be even better. So there's lots going on.
Great. Did you work with my friend Todd Haushalter there? Todd's a really smart guy. He used to run the tables here at the MGM properties.
Yeah, and I had Todd in the Hippodrome on Wednesday last week, and then I was with him again on Friday in Vegas Tahoe.
Right.
He was also talking in at the EDP. He actually was bit of a pain because he is such an exciting, exuberant presenter.
He is,
I was following him, so it's really that was a tough one.
Yeah, that's always tough for sure. So
no, he's a great guy.
So, what are the demographics of the new Hippodrome player? As you came out of the pandemic.
I think the biggest change to the demographics has been Magic Mike, and that's now 5 years old this month, and that has added in 3,000 predominantly 18 to 50 year old. Women to the mix.
Sure.
But the demographics have always been incredibly wide at the Hippodrome because we've got such a range of products, attractions.
Sure.
We kind of cater for everybody. And they complement each other. If you think we've got poker, live gaming, entertainment, bars, restaurants, I kind of think of it like the old Venn diagrams of overlapping circles.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some people who will do all five. Some
sure.
people just do four. Some people do one. Something none, whatever. They collectively mean we can cater for everybody.
Right.
And they all add to the building. If you, it's quite hard to promote a casino.
Sure.
You can't really get people excited about it. But when you get something like Magic Mike for us, the talkability and acceptability of the Hippodrome went up massively.
Yeah.
And when women go and see Magic Mike at the Hippodrome, they can hardly say to men, you can't go to the Hippodrome. Mm-hmm. So it really boosted the whole business.
So do you present that Magic Mike in the small theater or in the large stage area?
It's in the, behind the curtain, where the original stage of the Victorian Theater would have been. So it's intimate, it seats 325 people.
Sure, yes.
But that adds to it, and it's just been
outrageous
success.
I love that theater because every seat is a great seat because you have the balcany too, and you can almost reach out and touch them, so no wonder it's a success.
Trust me, come and see Magic Mike next time you are in London. It's obviously aimed at females, but I've seen it dozens of times, and I love it every single time. It's funny, it's sexy, it's silly, sassy, a lot of fun.
Okay. So the Evolution tables, is that replacing the live roulette that you had there a few years ago, the last time I was there?
We've got it doesn't replace anything. It sits on top of the table.
Okay.
So it's one of our normal tables with the dual play Evolution kit, and then that result is streamed onto the internet.
Okay.
And it's doing so well, we're adding a second American roulette and a Baccarat table. For me, it's actually quite flattering. The Hippodrome name adds value and is trusted.
Yes.
And we've had a quite a nice stream of people who played it online, who wanted to come to Hip Dream to play it on the real table.
I see, yeah.
So it's quite sure. a nice online or yeah. offline convergence.
And that's what I thought it was exciting, that you actually could play it on the real table, you know, while other people were playing it online.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different beast, really, than what Evolution usually does.
Yeah. No, it's for me, it's a nice revenue stream and more awareness of Hip Dream, I suppose.
Sure.
And as I said, it's flattering that people trust the name
okay.
to that point.
Great. So let's talk about, you know, some of the situation, the regulatory situations in the UK. You know, the DCMS just released a white paper after, what, 2.5 years? It
yeah.
took them a while to put it together. But what does that mean for the Hippodrome and for land-based casinos in the UK?
It's good.
Yeah.
Good news. But the white paper, the principal tenets of it, well, the consultations led to the white paper, the principal tenets were to modernise the law since
right.
2005, to make sure the balance between player opportunity and player protection was there, and rebalance online offline, because
mm-hmm.
online's gone flying,
sure,
and
right.
online regulations have been left behind a bit.
Right.
So when we say white paper, that means the government have determined this is going to happen. It's
yeah.
now the law.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing stopping us taking advantage of it is actually the regulations have got to be laid in Parliament,
right.
and we've got a little bit of consultation just mm-hmm. to get the finer detail. But from a land-based casino point of view, finally, we're going to be allowed to have more slot machines.
Right.
The law changed in 2007, allowing us to have 20,
mm-hmm.
drop in the ocean compared to American
right,
casinos,
sure.
clearly.
Yeah.
It should have been reviewed in 2013. It didn't get reviewed, so we're 10 years late. But it will allow us to quadruple the number of machines
okay.
to have up to 80, provided you are a big enough site, and
sure.
I certainly will be.
Yeah.
And also to have a betting license, so we can have sports bars, so Lola's
mm-hmm.
can become a sports bar. To have more forms of electronic payment, just modernization really.
Right.
And the high-end casinos will be allowed to do credit for high-end overseas banked customers more like
okay.
we can in every
okay.
casino worldwide. So it'll be very good. I get complaints about two things in particular about the Hippodrome. One is the doorman, who are apparently racist, sexist, homophobic, whatever. And the complaint normally goes along the lines of, the doorman wouldn't let me in. Is it because I'm gay, white, black, yellow? I'd only had a few pints.
Yeah,
well, balance, I think it's probably because you were drunk.
He's doing his job, right.
And the other complaint I get all the time is, queues for the slot machines.
Yeah, right.
And the amount of people that go, so why don't you put more slot machines in? You're supposed to be a casino.
Yeah.
It's the law. So I'm very excited on that.
Right.
It's going to, it'll take a little bit of time to work out how to use them, and there's some new manufacturers
sure.
like
right.
Light and Wonder coming into the market,
mm-hmm.
And they'll take a bit of time to get the right balance of the product. But it'll give the whole industry a much needed boost,
sure.
lead to investment
mm-hmm.
and development. So it's great, great, great news.
So you'll have 80 slot machines. How many tables will you have at that point?
We've got 35 gaming tables,
okay.
18 poker tables.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we'll keep all of those. We've got 145 electronic roulette terminals.
Mm-hmm.
That's our kind of way of balancing for the lack of terminal-based games,
right.
slightly lower price point. Obviously, we'll reduce some of those, but we've got plenty of space to play with to put the new product in.
Okay. So, in terms of sports betting, these new rules allow you to offer sports betting
yeah.
in house?
Very much so.
Right.
And again, I think the reality is a lot of people now, particularly in the UK, use an app
right.
for sports betting.
Sure, right.
So it's not going to be a big earner.
Yeah.
But it's part of the showmanship of the theatre.
Sure. Right.
And we've already turned Lola's into a sports bar
mm-hmm.
in anticipation. So we've got
right.
one
that.
10-meter screen and sort of 8 or 9. Very large plasmas,
mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful sports
yeah.
Viewing place. And then adding in the real betting opportunity type thing will just give it more
mm-hmm.
of a Vegas feel.
Sure, sure, no question about it. And I guess the race here will be beamed right into the Hippodrome, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we show everything live. And it's actually quite, we do really well with American sport there
right.
because with the time zone difference,
sure.
a lot of sports bars are closed
mm-hmm.
when a lot of the American sports are on.
Right.
We were definitely the best place in London to watch NFL. Because we're
right.
open 24/7, and some of the Ultimate Fighting, the boxing will stream from Vegas as well.
Sure.
And then we're building it up our hockey, basketball, baseball,
mm-hmm.
falling great. As well. So it's
great because yeah, every time we come to ICE in London in early February, late January, whenever they schedule it, we have to find a sports bar to watch the NFL playoffs. So we'll make sure we come to the Hippodrome then. So tell us about responsible gaming and or problem gambling. You know, as it's a big issue, obviously, in the UK, and a lot of this white paper was kind of designed to address that. But you know, from I've heard some research shows that there's really not that much problem gambling in the UK at this point.
Well, that's correct. The stats worldwide say that problem gambling is relatively small. But let's be realistic. It's a small number of people that are harmed a lot.
Sure, right.
So it's important.
Right.
And it needs dealing with in a mature way. But equally, it's a small part of the population. It's a huge part of the population that really enjoy the gambling pastime.
Yeah, right.
When gambling, going to the Hippodrome, going to Vegas.
Sure, right.
And we should be very protective of those. Mm-hmm. In the UK, we take seriously, we always have done. We've got problem gambling helplines, mm-hmm. we have self-exclusion schemes,
right.
we have all sorts of counselling available. The staff training is very comprehensive. The level of supervision is very comprehensive. The noise that is being made in the sort of lobbies about anti-gambling, it's a relatively small group of people making an awful lot of noise. And I think it's probably the same in the States, mm-hmm. the same worldwide. It is part of our business. We need to deal with the negatives and expand on the positives.
Sure, exactly. Well, a lot of this white paper was aimed at the online gaming group. Do you think they've acted socially responsible as a group itself?
If you're talking to about the online companies right. in the last decade or so, mm-hmm. Not wanting to be overly critical, but there were certainly some operators that were took advantage of the very lax regulations
sure.
and abused that position. That's led to those operators receiving very large fines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the regulatory system slowly come into play. It's always the way that technology leads regulation.
Sure. Yeah.
There was some bad practice. I think even ahead of the new regulations, there's been a lot of self-regulation. The online firms generally have got themselves in a very good position now.
Right.
And I think the responsible ones are all very pleased to have a strong set of regulations so they're all working off the same platform, and it actually gives them a platform to build on rather than being worried about the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, is there, you mentioned there are some helplines. Is there anything equivalent to the 1-800-GAMBLER number, which has just expanded here in the US just recently?
Yeah, we've had a national helpline,
okay.
We call it the GamCare helpline,
okay.
for 20 plus years.
Right, okay.
And it's actually expanded recently to a net line as well, because a lot of people the youth these days, don't actually speak on phones, they send messages. So the net line has overtaken the helpline.
Right.
And if there isn't a net line in the States, then that's definitely something that should be developed here.
Okay.
It's very valuable. I was actually a trustee of GamCare, which is our main problem gambling charity, for 12 years, and was quite involved in setting up all of these telephone lines and systems. So it's good, it works. If people are in distress, there's somewhere they can go to, and they can be then signposted or directed into help or counselling. It helps.
Great. So, since I've been over there, Brexit has occurred. What has that meant for the Hippodrome and the land-based operators in the UK?
I'd say it's too soon to tell. There was actually a very famous quote about, I think it was President Xi was asked about the French Revolution, what mm-hmm. he thought. And he said, too soon to tell. Brexit's not a 1 or 2 year project.
Right.
It's 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
The positives are obvious. We get control of our regulations mm-hmm. and we get control of our borders.
Right.
But the negatives are equally obvious, that the European community will try to punish England, make it as hard as it can for England, because it doesn't want other people to think that they can also do what we've done. So Brexit was confused by COVID as well, all happening more or less at the same time. And we came out of COVID short-staffed,
mm-hmm.
and some people go, well, it must be because the Europeans can't work in the UK as easily as they were before. But then we realised that Europe was also short-staffed, and America's short-staffed, and COVID has actually changed people's attitude to work.
Right.
And I think a lot of people who would have had their first job in a bar, whatever, at university or school, didn't go into hospitality, didn't have that foot in, and where that's going to take a few years to work through. But London is heaving.
Yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Hipdrome's doing really well. We're fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
There's some real opportunities with Brexit, as well as just some of the logistical challenges of delivering goods across Europe,
sure,
or
right,
having
right.
to show your passport when you go through borders and the like.
So it hasn't really affected tourism?
No, tourism
is
really
positively affected it.
We were frustrated in the UK because there's an opportunity to have tax-free shopping for tourists.
Okay.
And for the moment, the government, we don't understand why, are saying no to it. That would be a golden opportunity. That would drive tourism even further, because we would be the only place in Europe that Europeans could come for tax-free shopping.
Sure. Okay.
It used to be that Americans and Chinese could have tax-free in the UK. We're working on that, but tourism is brilliant in the UK.
Mm-hmm. So what about the industry in the other EU countries? Is the industry being treated fairly by the EU Commission? And is it just another level of regulations? You got the EU, then you got your inter-country regulations.
Yeah, but actually regulation, each country controls its own regulation on gambling.
Yeah.
So it's not a European regulation. Which means when you say, how's Europe doing, it's really hard, because every country is different set of regulations, different set of circumstances. Some are doing well, some are finding life a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
The ones with more progressive regulations are enjoying life at the moment. I think what it really does show, though, is a lot of the challenges across Europe are common to the UK and common to America. Staff shortages, public health lobby trying to make sort of really anti-gambling lobby trying to make life harder,
sure.
Regulators kowtowing to the public health lobby, trying to put more friction into the system. And I think it makes you realise that we as gambling operators have got to be much cleverer at working together to address all of these things. And there's actually, I was lucky enough to be invited to a meeting that Bill Miller and the AGA organised at G2E, which was the first formal meeting where we had the American Gaming Association, the European Casino Association, and the British Gambling Council, which is obviously covers a lot of the globe as well.
Sure.
To try to coordinate efforts, because the anti-gambling lobby are coordinating. We've as an industry coordinate as well.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot to be happy about and to promote.
Sure.
As well as dealing with some negatives.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think the AGA has done a great job in this country, because when you see what happened in Australia with the backlash that has hit the industry there, I think the European Casino Association has also done a good job. The gentleman from Sweden who was the chairman for a while, great guy. You know, he had the idea of showing all the European countries, this is the impact that we have on you.
Yeah. And it's good. I think, to be honest, I think AGA do it the best. They really show the value to communities of tax, employment, and also highlight the sort of the positives from the customer point of view. And we shouldn't be shy about it.
Yeah.
We enrich people's lives, maybe not financially, but they spend money and they buy a place where they buy excitement, they buy socialization, they buy an evening out.
Sure.
For a lot of people, it's an amazing facility to have a really good casino in that area.
Okay.
And we should be shouting about it a lot more. Bo Bernard at UNLV's been pushing this fun economy for a while. And when you see the stats, I think he says 13.7% of world GDP is now the fun economy, sport, tourism, leisure, entertainment. Bigger than agriculture, bigger than the pharma industry, bigger than the automobile industry.
Right.
And it's only going to go one way. As
the
sort of our lifestyles change, there's more automation. It's a very important part of the world economy.
Yeah, no question. So I've just been made aware there's a few dormant casino licenses in the UK, and certainly a few underperforming casinos there that that are not doing very well. Thoughts of expanding the Hippodrome Empire into other casinos?
I'd love to have a go at a couple of them, I must say. Being realistic, two things. One, I'm having an awful lot of fun with the Hippodrome, and this, yeah. it takes up a massive amount of my time, and we've still got lots to do, particularly with the regulatory changes that are going to allow us a little more freedoms. But the way it works in the UK, when you get a gaming license, you're limited to your whichever town you've got in.
Okay, right.
So take Manchester. If you get a license in Manchester, you can only use it in Manchester. Mm-hmm. So the major operators might have multiple sites in Manchester,
right.
And they've chosen not to activate one of the licenses. The chances of them, when they've already got existing sites, giving me a license cheaply, because they know full well that I'll disrupt the market.
Sure, right.
So it's going to be unlikely,
right.
I think, that anyone will make it easy for me. But I'm never saying never.
No.
There's
nothing wrong with disrupting the market at the right time anyway, right?
If people don't disrupt, markets just slowly cycle down. You need people to push boundaries, to find new ways of doing things. And Vegas, the way stuff gets blown up here, if it's not good enough, and just replaced and rebuilt, and it's always a cycle of excitement and new stuff happening.
Sure, yeah, no question. So what's next for Simon Thomas and the Hippodrome?
I'll keep having fun. Yeah. The obvious things are the new regulatory changes will give me a lot of freedom,
right.
And it'll make the business stronger, but it'll also help the whole industry, and I think that will help positive messages about the industry. I've got lots of plans within the building. I've got the secret bar, which will be uber cool. Should be open by April, May next year. But I've just put in for planning to build another floor on the top of the building.
Mm-hmm.
The actual roof of the theatre is not structurally sound.
Right.
Well, it's not designed to take heavy weight.
Sure, right.
It's structurally sound, but not designed to be built on. So we're planning to put a steel frame over the whole thing.
Okay.
And put a 200 cover, either restaurant or casino or bar up there. Because I've always had this thing about doing a dinner party in the cupola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the front door, there's that big dome with a charioteer on top, Boadicea whipping the horses. When you go inside it, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It would be the most phenomenal dining room in London.
Yeah.
The access at the moment is up a ladder, so health and safety won't let us use it. But if I do build that over the top, beside creating what will be a very unusual, beautiful restaurant, dining, casino experience, I will be able to have a walkway into the cupola and finally get my dinner party in there.
Okay, great.
And it'll be
great. Well, it's been great to catch up with you, and I can't wait to see the new Hippodrome when I get to London for ICE in early February. So save me a table at the Chinese restaurant. That sounds pretty spectacular.
We look forward to your visit. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.